evening I want to talk about love. Everybody say love. And so yesterday was Valentine's Day, and some people went to the States, I saw on Facebook and different things. They had a great time on love. But I want to talk about the God kind of love. You know, the God kind of love is what you and I have. And this evening, what I want to share on is that we have the love of God, what it is, and how we can put it into practice. Because when you and I got born again, the love of God was placed inside of our spirits. And you have the love of God. I know before I was born again, I was kind of I wasn't saved, eh? I got saved when I was 20 years old, and so whenever you got saved, when I say saved, I mean you come to the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. You've accepted Him in your heart. Your life has been changed and transformed by the power of God. And there's a notable difference in everybody that's really gave their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a change that happens. You know, Jesus talked about three will be divided in a house against two, two against three. Some believe, some don't believe, but we want everybody to be believers. But there is a change that happens in your and my life, and that is the love of God that has been placed inside of our hearts. And we're changed people. We're totally changed people. So God's love is inside of us, and it's a wonderful thing, God's love. So we're going to talk about that this evening. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." That's the great salvation scripture. But did you know that God loved first? While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for the ungodly. While I was alienated from God, didn't want to have anything to do with Him, Jesus found me, and He drew me unto Himself. And through a multiple of things, I would like to hear every single person's testimony. I'm sure it's just a wonderful thing how God got a hold of you and changed and transformed your life into what He's still molding it. You're not reached the pinnacle of perfection. You know, Brother Hagin, he's one of our mentors, would say, when you just finally feel that, you know, you're finally getting in your Christian walk somewhere, something happens to you and knocks you right down, and your head ends up by your feet, and you're like, wow, where did that come from? What happened there? And that happens to all of us at different times. So I like to always be aware. Don't want to get too cocky in the things of God, but I do want to be bold in what I believe in the Word of God and how He's changed and transformed me. But I know that there is an enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus Christ said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. And part of that abundant life is walking in the God kind of love. And each one of us should implement that in our daily lives, walking in the God kind of love. So there's four types of love. I just looked it up in a dictionary, and I've heard others minister on it as well. There is eros. That is the passionate, the physical love. Hopefully in marriage, that's great. Amen? That's eros. That's the one kind of love. There's philia. P-H-I-L-I-A, that's the love for your friends. You have friends, you love them. There's storge, S-T-O-R-G-E, that's the love for your parents and for your kids. You love them. But the agape, everybody say agape. The agape love is the love of God. And God's love is just so awesome and wonderful. That's the love that is placed inside of you when you accepted Him as your Lord and your Savior. You've got the love nature of God. God is love. Now, He is huge. He is big. He's fantastic, this almighty God that we serve. We love Him. He is a God of judgment, but He is a God of love. And He's placed that inside of our hearts. So the first thing we have to know that we have it. Everybody say we have it. We have the God kind of love. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, it says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So you and I are made of love. God Almighty placed that inside your spirit, and each one of us have that love on the inside of us. And we wouldn't be able to have it otherwise. You know, Brother Hagin, again, one of our teachers at Bible school, he says that before he was born again, he was absolutely mean. His dad left the home. He left his mother and several kids all by themselves. They had to fend for themselves. And he said, when I get older, I'm going to kill my dad. I'm going to kill my dad. I'm going to kill my dad. That's horrible. You know, see, why am I tearing up? Because that's the love of God in me. It's the love of God in me. You got a little kid that's upset, and he's hurt.
And that should affect you in a very positive way, that you want to help that kid and you want to bless that kid. That's the love of God on the inside of you that wells up and says, I don't like that. You know, pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is to visit the widows in their affliction. They don't have a husband. And the kids that don't have any parents. That's the mercy and that's the love of God, and it just wells up. And he said, I'm going to kill my dad. But did you know what? When he was around 15 years old, he got born again. He got saved. And he says, did you know what? All of a sudden, the love of God welled up in him. He didn't want to do that. The love of God doesn't want to see anybody. If you're really born again, you don't want to see anybody in hell. There is a place called hell. The Word of God says there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth where the worm dies not, where they're in constant torment night and day. So there is a place called hell. And if you really have the love of God, you don't want to see anybody in there. Even somebody you may not get along with right now, or maybe they hurt you, or maybe they upset you, or maybe they did something to you, but the love of God in you will go above and beyond and want to do something for that individual and say, you know, yes, they hurt me. Yes, they did a tragedy to me, but, you know, the love of God overwhelms me, and I want to pray for them. I want to speak a blessing unto them. That's the love of God in action. It's the love on the inside of you that compels you to do things that's not normal, that not normal for your old self. You know, I was quite a little shyster when I was younger. I remember being in grade 3, and there's this kid, and he said, what is your name? He told me his first name. And the reason I'm sad is because he passed away. It's horrible, but I was mean to this kid. I would say, what's your first name? He'd tell me. What's your last name? He'd tell me. I'd say, what's your first name? Tell me. What's your last name? And he was all mixed up. I thought, man, I'm stupid to do that. Why would I do that? Because the love of God wasn't in me. That's why I did it. That's why I did it. But I got my lesson good way. I did it to another kid. This little kid was small, but then he got big. He worked in the bush. He had worked with chainsaws. All through my high school, I had to run from that guy. That guy was out to get me. What a torment. So what you sow is what you reap. But anyways, the moral of the story is that love of God on the inside of you doesn't want to make people upset, doesn't want to hurt anybody, wants to love on them, wants to show compassion unto them, wants to go above and beyond and help them. So you are born of God. You are born of the Spirit of God. Romans 5 says, the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost. Now, this next scripture, it kind of confuses me, and it is a tough one because I don't like to look at it. I know that when people say, oh, God created everybody, we're all God's children. Yeah, he created us all. But there is the children of God, and then there's other children. And this, according to this scripture right here, it says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10, in this is the children of God are manifested, and the children of the devil. Whosoever does not righteousness is not of God. Righteousness, we are righteous in Christ Jesus. Those that have didn't accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they're not the righteousness of God. You can have a lot of good works. You could do a lot of good things, but that does not get an individual to heaven. You can give all your money away. You can serve, give, do all kinds of things, but that doesn't do it in God's kingdom. There's one thing that does it in God's kingdom, and that is the accepting of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, believing that he is the only way, the truth, and the life. There's no man comes to the Father but by him. That's only one way. And there's a lot of nice people in earth right now that believe that because they didn't kill anybody, because they didn't steal, or they didn't do certain things, then they are righteous. No, they're not righteous. They need to be righteous through Christ Jesus. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and that's the only thing. When we get to heaven, it's not going to be. We're going to be rewarded for the works that we do, the help that we do, the service that we did. We'll be rewarded for that. But there's only one thing that makes an individual allowed to enter those pearly gates and spend eternity with a loving Heavenly Father. That's the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary for you and me. It's this one way, one simple way, and that's through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So it says here about the children of the devil, whosoever does not do righteousness, neither he that loves his brother. It's funny that they put the children of God,
They're talking about righteousness in Jesus, and they put the children of devil of those that do not love. Well, think about that for 1 second. You know, the children of the devil, they do not love. And so if you and I are born again, alive unto God, and if we have a chip on our shoulders and we want to say we're not going to love, guess what? That does not place us in a good standing. We are children of love, and we can love the unlovable because God's love is inside of us. Amen. So 1 John 4, verse 7, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God." So anytime I don't love, guess what? I don't really know God, because God is love. God is love. "Everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love." Everybody say, God is love. He is just a love God. So we are born of it, we have it, and so thank God we know that we are born of love and we have the love of God in us. There's another scripture that says, "How can a man say he loved God and he doesn't see God and hate his brother whom he can see?" How can a man say he loved God whom he can see? Because God is invisible. Yeah, we sense him in our spirit. We sense him in our heart. We notice the trees, the universe, the stars, the galaxies, the sand, the oceans. But yet we don't see him physically. And yet we see our brother. We see an individual. So if we look at them, we must say, thank God. You know, I love that individual with the love of God. I love that individual with the love of God. So number one, we have it. Number two, what is it? What is it? What is the God kind of love? What is that agape kind of love? Well, in Galatians, it says the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And it comes when you are born again, when you're alive unto God, you have the fruit of the Spirit of love. It's the first and foremost one. Then the others, of course, are love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. But the number one is love, love, love. Because you are born of love, God Almighty is love. So what is it? Corinthians tells us exactly what it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, love is patient. Love is patient. Love will be patient with people. Supernatural love is patient. And God is patient with you. Aren't you glad he's patient with you? I'm super glad he's patient with me. You know, I got to meet him in 1986. I walked down a railroad track for 7 miles by Hudson because there's some people chasing us of a certain nationality. But they're my brothers and sisters now. In fact, I work for one. An Ojibwe. Amen. Anyways, the moral of the story was I walked 7 miles down a railroad track in the pitch dark midnight. And as I walked, all of a sudden I remembered what I learned in church. Elsie, Mom, Baba. I heard that one scripture that they forced me to memorize. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. I said that over and over and over and over and over and over and over for 7 miles. And then all of a sudden it dawned on me. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. And I said, whoa, you are with me. And then the light was all around me because the sun came up. And I said, wow, I've really been acting bad, eh? And we talked all the way, but I didn't give my heart to him. Isn't that something? You could talk to God, you can fellowship with him, and yet don't have anything to do with him. Until 1 year later in 87 of May, I bent my knee and I prayed. And I said, okay, I can't do it anymore. And I accepted him as my Lord and Savior. Isn't that nice, eh? Sometimes it takes people a good pounding before they realize, before they realize they need help. Before they realize they need a Savior, and the Savior is our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the Savior of the universe. He's our Savior. That's right.
And so love is patient. God is patient with you and me. And this is what it is. We have it, and this is what it is. It's patient. Love is kind. Kind. What's kind? Kind would be, you know, cutting someone's grass. Plowing some snow. Baking some goods. Making pierogies. Giving small gifts. Cutting someone's hair for free. And the list goes on. So love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love is not boastful. Love is not proud. Love is not rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable. You see how impossible this is to live on your own? Impossible. But my Bible says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Can we put that up there, please? Galatians chapter 2 and 20. It says, I am crucified with Christ, but nevertheless I, the old man, I want King James. None of this NLT on this one. I need King James. I need a good fix. I need my King James. Galatians 2:20. It says, I am crucified with Christ. When you and I gave up our life, our own selfish life, we were crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. That's how we walk in love. Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of. Everybody say, of. I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's the same faith that Jesus had. On the inside of us, we have that God kind of faith. It's the faith of God. That's why I can love the unlovable. Isn't that right? They could be nasty. They could be mean. They could be cruel. And I could love them. Why? Because it's not me. It's the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. Through faith, loving that individual. Having compassion and mercy upon them. Mercy and compassion upon them. I never like to see anyone die before their time. It really upsets me. I'm sad, and I'm sure God is too. There's no reason in the entire universe why anybody should take their own life. That's a waste of a beautiful life. It's a waste of a beautiful life because there's such hope in Christ. There's such hope in Jesus. They could do anything. They could do so much. The love of God loves those individuals. And he goes over and above to speak to them and says, don't take your life. Don't do it. There's more to life than what you see. And with God, all things are possible. Everything is possible with God if you believe. Nothing is impossible. You can get an education. You can have a wonderful career. You can do whatever you want. Through the power of God, such possibilities out there, and that's God's love. So next time you see a drug addict, or you see someone that's drunk, or you see someone that's all twisted, God loves you. God loves you, and he has the power to change and transform anybody, absolutely anybody. I heard that one individual was sleeping in a cardboard box in somewhere. And the minister had a group of people ministering unto them. You know, that guy got changed and transformed so much that he joined the ministry. He joined the organization. And God took him so high up in that organization. And he came from a cardboard box. Amen? What I understand is he was in charge of finance, but that's like way too much. So this guy that was sleeping in a cardboard box even went and took care of finances in the organization. So that is a totally amazing how God can change and transform an individual life and make him honest, make him an honest person, make him not want to steal, make him want to do good, want to be a blessing. Amen? That's amazing. So what is this love? This love is patient. This love is kind. This love is not boastful. This love is not proud. This love is not rude. This love does not demand its own ways. This love is not irritable. This love keeps no record of a wrong done unto it. This is powerful. Love does not rejoice in injustice, but rejoices in truth. And when truth wins out, love never gives up. Love never loses faith. Love is always hopeful. Love always endures through every circumstance and situation. That is the God kind of love. When you said, I had enough, I'm not taking this anymore, the love of God says, oh yeah, you're going to take it, amen, and you're going to love it, and you're going to be a blessing. When love says, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind, you want to get this piece that came from garbage dump? No, you're not going to give them a piece of your mind. You're going to give them a piece of cake, amen? You're going to bless them and help them. Somebody was complaining about Brother Hagin and the ministry. He said, I'm going to send him some money. He sent him some money. How the guy changed his tune? All of a sudden, it's a great place. How it changes, how love does. The flesh, the unregenerated man says, you hit me, I'm going to hit you. You spit on me, I'm going to spit on you. But the love of God says, no. They want your jacket, give them your coat. They want you to walk 1 mile, walk with them 2 miles. You'd be a blessing, even though they don't deserve it. But yet the love of God says, you know, I'm going to love these people. I'm going to love this person. I'm going to love them with the love of God. And so love is all those things. 1 John 2 and verse 5 says, whosoever keeps the word, love, the love is the word. That's the new commandment. In him is verily the love of God perfected. When you walk in love, you are a perfected individual. So we talked about we have it. We talked about what is it. And now we talk about how to use it. How are you going to really use the love of God? Over in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. It says here in verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind. Have compassion one of another. This is King James. Have compassion one of another. Love as brothers. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil. Everybody say, not rendering evil for evil. They did you evil. They did you cruel. They deserve punishment. But you don't give them evil for evil. You don't do it. Because you can't do it. If you want the blessing of God, you can't do it. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, putting down people, but contrary-wise, blessing. So somebody does you evil, bless them. Someone rails you, bless them. Knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. God can't bless you and me if we don't walk in love and when someone does us evil. God cannot bless you. He cannot bless me. He cannot bless anybody that if they're going to do evil for evil. But if you turn around and you do a blessing, then God has the ability to give you that blessing that he wants to give you. That contrary-wise, that you should inherit a blessing. And then verse 11 goes on wonderfully, for who that will love life? I love life and see good days. I want good days. Let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips they speak no guile. That evil could be speaking down, putting down people, trash talking them, speaking evil about them, telling them they're just nothing, they're no good. But he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips they speak no guile. Let him run from evil and do good. Let him seek after peace and run after it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now, there is a scripture that says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. I love to be vengeful before I was born again. And even now that I'm born again, I have to understand that vengeance is not my position. If God would say, Kenny, you get to be the vengeful person. You give judgment and vengeful to everybody that I tell you to. But there's no such thing. There's no such thing, because it can't be. We are called to love. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And God showed me, he says, you want to avenge that person, but guess what? I want to love that person. I want to get to that person. The Apostle Paul was so cruel. I'm sure the saints there and wherever they were wanted to get rid of him. This guy is hurting Christians. He's bringing them to prison. He's enchaining them. He's wrecking their homes, taking them prisoner, taking their things, and he's on his way to do some more. He's got letters, and he's on his way to Damascus, and all of a sudden a bright light shines from heaven and knocks him off his horse or whatever he was. And the voice said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He said, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting you. The King James says, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. That just means it's hard for you to go against the divine impulse of God. God's spirit is striving with you, and you are persecuting me. He was persecuting Christians, but yet Jesus said, they're persecuting me. Jesus took it personally, absolutely personally, how anybody treats you. He takes it personally. Miss Joanne, however anybody treats you, they're treating Jesus the exact same way. People that do you good and help you, they're treating Jesus the exact same way. Because what you've done unto any, you've done it unto me, says the Lord of hosts. And so it's not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called that you should inherit a blessing. James talks about it in James 1:2. It says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith works patience. And let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. God Almighty knows that you're going to be tempted. Each one of us are going to be tempted. Jesus was tempted in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was tempted. He said, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And sometimes when we go through things, we got to say, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. And that love of God, let people see the love of God through your eyes, through your actions, through your deeds, through everything you say, and through everything you do. Let them see the love of God. You know, Jesus is using your eyeballs. This is one's in your head here. And he's looking out and he's seeing people. And he sees them. And they say, they don't see me. No, he sees you. So what you look at, that's what Jesus is looking at. That's what he's seeing. And he sees it with a heart and eyes of love and compassion and mercy. He is so kind. And he is so wonderful. And so it's acting out exactly how the love of God is in you. And then a couple more scriptures, Galatians 5:4, it says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, love your neighbor as yourself. Romans 13:10, love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So those three things, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. So the love of God is utmost and important. We have the love of God because we're born again. We heard what the love of God is, and we can act in the love of God. Amen. Let's all stand. Father, we want to thank you in the name of Jesus that we have the love of God. And the things that we've heard this evening, we thank you, Lord, that we will use our eyes to show and see the love of God through these eyes that you've given us. Oh, thank you so very much that you alone are good and your mercies endure forever. Thank you that we're born of you, that we're born of God. Oh, I'm so grateful and thankful that we're part of the kingdom of God. We're part of the family of God. And if you're in this place and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or you're watching online, say this simple prayer. Say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Come into my heart. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me clean. I want to stand before you blameless, and I want to have that love of God in my life. And I thank you now for making me new. Father, we want to say thank you for saving us. Thank you for calling us out of darkness into your marvelous light. We were children of the devil. We were children away from you, and now we are your children, part of the family of God. The Apostle Paul would say, I bow my knees unto my God and Father and my Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Part of the families in heaven, they're gone on. Thank you for them, the ones that we loved and appreciated and did our best with. And the part, other part is on earth, and so we thank you for them. And we pray for them. We pray for all of our family. And those that don't know you in our family, in our lineage, and our lives, we thank you. We pray you send forth laborers across their path with the right person at the right time, a right program, a right word, someone says, a kind word when it was needed, maybe a tougher word if it's needed, because you're a God of compassion. And may the compassion of God well up inside of us and heal those that need healing. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that with your power and your ability, all things are possible. And you'll put us over every time. We won't be weak. We got the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And Jesus, when you said, Lord, if it's possible, take this cup from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And then he said, okay, guys, get up. Let's go. They're here. Those that will betray me, those that will hurt me, they're here. And Jesus went with power. Jesus went with authority. And he went to the cross and he died for you and he died for me. And not only that, but on the third day he rose up from the dead, just like he said, because he's not a liar. He's powerful. And now he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we're his servants. We're his children. We're the ones he loves with every fiber of his being because he shed his blood for us. And so we say, thank you, Lord God. Open up our eyes and our ears to see and hear. We thank you for Thunder Bay. We pray for this city. Thank you, Lord, for those that are sick, for healing touch of the Master's hand, that they would be healed in their bodies and their minds. Thank you, Father, the supernatural healing power of God being evident in this city. Thank you, Lord, for the healing power of God being evident in this city. Thank you, Lord, that disturbed people will have sound minds. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, because with you all things are possible. Thank you, Lord God. We don't fear. The power of God is well able to put everybody over and make them a success. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And help us, each one, to be used by you for your glory. Not in their own strength, but through the strength of the power of the Spirit of God. And we'll give you all the praise and glory for everything that's wrought, every life changed, every body healed, every disturbed person sound because of the anointing and the power of God. Thank you, Lord God. And we give you praise and we give you glory and we give you honor. You told us with long life, because you've called upon me, I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble and deliver you. And I will honor you. I'll set you up on high because you've known my name, and you shall call upon me and I'll answer you, and I'll be with you in trouble and deliver you. And I will honor you, and with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. Thank you, Lord God. We take that long life, long, healthy, strong life, walking in the love of God. Those opportunities that come to us, which they always do, that we have an opportunity to walk in love or not walk in love, we thank you, Lord God, that we'll walk in love. We say in the name of Jesus, we commit ourselves to walk in love. And we thank you. Everybody say, I will walk in love. Amen, amen. Well, God bless you. You have a wonderful Wednesday evening. Next service here is Sunday at 10:30. God bless you. Thank you for watching as well.